as we read the Word of God from Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 8, 1 through 5. And this is the study of God's Word tonight as we go into the seventh seal judgment. Revelation 8, 1 through 5. The Word of God says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Here we are, brothers and sisters, Revelation chapter 8. And this is the seal judgments. Well, the last of it. The last of it. That's why the title of our sermon tonight is the tribulation, the seal judgments, the seventh seal. Now, I want to post here behind me the timeline of our prophecy so that we know where we're at. So at the moment, as I'm preaching here with you, where we're living in is the church age. And we have discussed Revelation 2 and 3, where we discussed the seven churches there. The church age is where the church is commissioned by Christ to witness to a lost world. That's where we are at. And the next event we're waiting for is the rapture. We're in those passages in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians tell us this is going to be a very quick event. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we will be snatched out of this world. Well, there is a sequence, of course, we study that. The dead in Christ will arise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up in the air. We will meet Christ in the air. And then we will be brought to heaven, and there we will have the judgment seat of Christ, wherein our works will be judged. Not that we will be judged or saved or not. No, we are already saved. Okay? So that's a gathering of saved people. But what's going to happen is that we are going to be assessed if we will be receiving rewards or losing rewards. And I hope that we will all be receiving rewards there. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb will happen in heaven simultaneously when the 7-year tribulation will happen. So the rapture, dearly beloved, will start the 7-year period called the tribulation. Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Zephaniah calls it the day of wrath. In summary, the tribulation is a 7-year period in the end times in which humanity's decadence and depravity will reach its fullness, with God judging accordingly. Also, during that time, Israel will repent of their sin and receive Jesus as their Messiah, setting up a time of great blessing and restoration, and that will be the millennial reign of Christ when the 7-year tribulation will end. So, we are now on the seals judgment. These seals encompass the entire duration of the tribulation period. So, all of these seals will be opened during that time. At its end, Christ returns to earth. That's what we have just mentioned. Now, as a general observation, the tribulation period will have a sense that the judgments will get more intensified from the beginning to the end. So as you keep on opening those seals first, second, third, it will get more intensified. It's like a mother's birth pains during labor. Its frequency and intensity increase. The first 4 seals take place in the first half of the tribulation period. The 5th seal takes place on the first half of the second half. The 6th and the 7th seal, where we discuss the 7th seal, take place during the second half, which is referred to as the Great Tribulation. Because, of course, of the intensity there. The 7th seal, which we will discuss tonight, contains the seven trumpet judgments. And the second slide will reveal to us how it happens. We are in the seals, and then the seventh seals will open the trumpets. And then the seventh trumpet will release the bowl judgments. That's how it goes. So the seals, as we have discussed, from the chapters that we have here, chapter 6 and 7, we have a parenthetical commentary there, what happened. And in verse chapter 8, we're returning to the seventh seal. The first seal, symbolized by the white horse, is the person of the Antichrist, who will bring a false peace. Second seal, symbolized by the red horse, is the great slaughter of men due to war. The false peace will be destroyed. The third seal, we're still in chapter 6 here, symbolized by the black horse, is a tremendous famine and starvation that will happen. The fourth seal, symbolized by the pale or ashen horse, portrays the pale green pallor of death resulting from the war, famine, and other consequences of these calamities. Remember, combine all of these four seals, and the Word of God tells us there, for this fourth seal in verses 7 to 8 of chapter 6, that 25% of the population will die. By the way, if you were watching again Olympics, they also had the horses there in the opening ceremony. What a label of art. But for us who know prophecy, who know biblical truth, they may be blinded by it. Maybe they're acting blind by it. But we know that these all are under judgments of the Lord. The fifth seal, midpoint of tribulation, the cry of the vengeance of the souls of the Lord's martyrs. The sixth seal is the geographical, which is the great earthquake, and the astronomical calamities. The astronomical calamities there refer to the sun turning black and the moon becoming like blood. Then the seventh seal here in chapter 8 is when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, opens up the title deed to the earth and becoming more intense and severe. Now at this point, we don't really have a definite timetable to the opening of the trumpet and bowl judgments, but that they are going to happen in the second half of the tribulation period. We don't really know how long it will take each judgment seal. Or judgment, I mean, like the seal and then the trumpets and then the bowls. We don't really know. But we do know that that will happen in the second half of the tribulation period, as what we call the Great Tribulation. But one thing we know, as what I've been saying, they will just increase in intensity, in severity. So, here in chapter 8, 1 through 5, we see three scenarios with regards to the opening of the seventh seal. The first scenario is in verse 1. When Christ opens the seal, God's word says, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So the first scenario is the silence in heaven. The silence in heaven. When Jesus opened the seventh seal, there was no noise, no thunderings, no lightning, no music played, no shouting, no recitation, nothing. Silence. This is unique in all of John's vision so far, because as you remember, we have tackled this, everything that John saw was accompanied with loud noises. If you remember, look quickly with me. Revelation 4 verse 5. We're looking at these points where we hear loud noises and recitations and praises and singing. 4 verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now look at verse number 8 of the same chapter. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, they're saying over and over again, this is loud and this is repetitive, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now chapter 6, 9 to 10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then chapter 7, 2 to 3. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And what did he do? He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. What did he say? "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." So over and over again, dearly beloved, as John was given these different visions, we see accompanying loud noises, thundering and lightning and recitation and praises and singing. But here, the opening of the seventh seal, silence. Silence. Now this silence is striking, as what one author said. Some have seen it as breathing space. It's like, you know, it's funny how some couples do the reveal thing for the baby, and then they're gonna poke a balloon or something like that, or slice a cake, and they're gonna have a blue or pink or whatever, and then everybody was, and then when it pop and it's pink or it's blue, there's a quick silence there. But this one, half an hour. Breathing space, says this author, or that the angels are silent so the prayers of the saints can be heard, perhaps even the cry of the martyrs of Revelation 6, 9 to 11 will be heard. More likely, this author continues, this silence in heaven demonstrates a sober, awestruck silence. Not so much like the gender reveal kind of silence. Take a sober, awestruck silence at the judgments to come. Because as, again, you're seeing this intensification, right? The severity going more severe. And so you're waiting, what else can be done? What other judgments are coming? Lord, this is a lot already. So they're waiting. What is this? Now that the seals are off and the scroll can be opened, what's next? John took notice of the time. Now we know, of course, that in heaven there's no time. There's no time. But John was counting. John maybe was looking at, like, I don't know if he has a watch or something. How did he know? He had the time. He said, silence in heaven for about half an hour. There are times when half an hour is too short. I can relate with this. When I have a lot of things to clean up in the house, like, I can't. 30 minutes is such a short time. But what if I look at you tonight here during my sermon and just be quiet for 30 minutes? Isn't that awkward? Like, Pastor Jan, what are you doing? Are you having a heart attack or something? Right? So there are times when silence is very quick, very fast, but there are times when half an hour feels so like an eternity. I believe for John, what do you think for John? What do you think? Was it like, oh wow, it's so fast, 30 minutes? Or was it like, I think it's the second, wasn't it? Isn't it? Because he's used all this crying and then like silence. 30 minutes. Like eternity, most probably for him. Because he's exposed to the constant atmosphere of loud praise and worship to the Lord. And silence for 30 minutes? But I believe this is just a preparation for what is to come. So that God said, be silent, be still, and know that I am God. I'm going to do something you have not heard, you have not seen. Watch. Be quiet. Sometimes we do need that in our lives. You know, with the fast-paced life that we have, I don't know about you, but every time I go to the city, when we drive down there to visit, to eat for a special occasion, or to just view the the harbor because we missed the bridge. It seems so fast down there. Like, wow, it's time to, wow, okay. But here in the mountains, I like it. It's slow. It's very slow. Sometimes God slows us down because He's going to show us something very important, and we need to take our time to walk with God in the slowness of life. Sometimes we also need to just step on the brake in our lives because God is going to reveal something that is crucial. And here, the second scenario is the scene in heaven. The scene in heaven. Verse number 2. After the silence in heaven for about half an hour, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Here now is the seven trumpets. And then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So John saw here seven angels, and where they are, look at their location. They stand before God. Now, according to Jewish tradition, one biblical scholar said, there are seven angels who stand in God's presence. You know, seven is a perfect number, God's number. Apparently, based on this verse, the traditional idea was accurate. Another author said, the use of the in that sentence, and I saw the seven angels, set them apart from as a unique group from all other angels. Some scholars call them the presence angels. Presence meaning they're present before the Lord. The presence angels. The Greek verb translated stand indicates that they were in the presence of God and had been there for a time. So it wasn't just like, oh, they moved towards God. They have been there for a time. That's what they're doing. That's why they're called the presence angels. They're just there in the presence of the holy God. Scripture described various ranks and orders of angels. We know that. We have cherubims, seraphim, the one that Isaiah saw are seraphs. We have archangels. Jude 9 tells us about that. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities in Colossians chapter 1:16, those are also different ranks of angels. And then Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 tells us of powers. But these seven angels, going back to Revelation 8 verse 2, appear to be done away with such order or high ranking angels. Gabriel may have been one of them, this presence angels. Now, look at what they're given. So, they're standing before the Lord, and then to them were given what? Seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. Now, this is obviously done in preparation for the sounding off of the seven trumpet judgments. These are the seven trumpet judgments that will be sounded off in the middle part of the chapter up to chapter number 9. Once again, we see that angels participate in judgments, dearly beloved. Christ has taught about this, that angels have some participation in this act of God of judgment. A few passages here from Matthew clears out this teaching of Christ. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 39 to 41. Matthew 13, 39 to 41. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. See that? Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they, the angels, will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Now, I don't have the time to explain to you exactly where this is in our timeline of prophecy, but my point is that here, the Word of God tells us that angels is a part of the judgment act of God. They have a role to do. Now jump to verses 49 to 50 of the same chapter. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Another chapter, Matthew 16, verse number 27, a few pages from there. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So you see there again, angels is a part of the rewarding ceremony there. Now jump to Matthew 25, verse number 31. 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Right there again, when the Son of Man will judge the nations, we see that the angels, the holy angels, all the holy angels will be with him. So dearly beloved, this picture we have in Revelation 8, seeing angels having a part in the judgments of God, is a biblical teaching that angels do have a role in judgment. Of course, they're under the supervisory authority of God. Now, let's talk about the trumpets. Let's talk about the trumpets. We're still in chapter 8 in Revelation, verse number 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. In the Old Testament, trumpets sounded the alarm. This is, I'm sure, familiar with us, for war, and threw the enemy into a panic, or they called an assembly of God's people. These seven trumpets will sound as God's battle alarm during the great tribulation. Of course, in other times, trumpets were used to sound the arrival of some royalty or such that, but here, it talks about judgment. In a form of that the Lord will be having a war waged against those who do not believe him. So generally speaking, the trumpet judgment is more severe than the seal judgments. Each trumpet will sound off judgment, which will increase in destruction. We're going to discuss that in the next sermon. But the coming seven bold judgments, discussed even further down in the book of Revelation, will even be more devastating. So these are the seven trumpets. The first four trumpets destroy the earth's ecology. That's in chapter 8, 6 to 12. The next two produce demonic destruction of humanity. Chapter 8, 13 and 9, 1 to 11. And then the seventh trumpet introduces the final outpouring of God's wrath containing the seven bowl judgments. But go back to Revelation 8:2. Question. Did they sound off the trumpets immediately? No, they did not. They do not. Look at them. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. It doesn't say there that they sounded off right away. Not yet. Not yet. So that we go to the third scenario. The third scenario. So the silence in heaven, and then the scene in heaven, and the third scenario is the smoke of the incense. Now in verse 3, another angel comes into the scenario. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So John here next sees another angel. Now, of course, the next question will be, who is this angel? Right? There's seven angels and then another angel. Like, wow, okay, hold on. Break. Some commentators suggest it's Christ. I don't know if you would agree with commentators who say it's Christ, but I personally would not agree with that for a few reasons. Number one, the occurrence of the word another in verse number three. Then another angel. The word another there means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind of the first set of angels. So the first set of angels, the seven angels, are angelos, really angels. So the other angel is the same kind of them. So that's my first reason. Since this is the case, the angel here cannot be Christ, because if you look at the New Testament, Christ is never called an angel. The second reason that I would like to propose to you why this is not Christ is that I researched all the names and appellations and titles of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. None of them says that he's called an angel. He's never called an angel. There's no appellation of Jesus Christ. It's an angel or title is an angel. In this context, Christ, I think the third reason that I can propose, Christ has been clearly called as the Lamb. As the Lamb, over and over. Look at chapter 5, verse number 6. 5, verse number 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb. That's Jesus. And then again, chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. That's Jesus. Then chapter 7, verse number 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. So if this is Jesus Christ, he could not just be called the Lamb, because that's what has been called for these few chapters. So dearly beloved, if you go back to Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 to 5, this another angel cannot be Jesus. This is just another angel that's assigned a different role. What happened here? What was the role of the angel here? Look at the verse again, verse 3. He has a golden censer, and he came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, there are a lot of words here that relate to the Old Testament temple or tabernacle. And so I present to you some pictures here about that altar and lamb and censer. So the angel, as the word of God tells us here, having a golden censer, came to the altar. So this is the altar. This is the Old Testament altar. They have it in the tabernacle and also in the temple later on. Okay? And we know that the altar here in heaven is the same altar. It's a picture. It's a representation of the altar of incense in the temple, in the earthly temple. Both are made of gold. Exodus tells us that. Okay? And the altar is also said to be before the throne. This really, again, highlights that this heavenly altar we find in Revelation 8 is the counterpart of the earthly altar. Why? Because the altar of incense in the tabernacle and the temple was the nearest thing to the Holy of Holies where God's glory dwelt. Consistent with that identification is that the angel held a golden censer, kind of like that, which is placed there in the middle, okay? Or a fire pan. In the Old Testament, the priest would twice daily take hot, fiery coals from the brazen altar and transport them. Of course, not with his bare hands, because of course it's very, very hot. It will burn you. He will use those apparatus there that are purely to be used in the temple. These are holy and sanctified instruments, okay? So he will transport them to the holy place, to the incense altar. If you want to check this out, it's Exodus chapter 30, 7 to 8. So the angel here, going back to Revelation 8, took the incense, symbolizing, there's a symbol here, as the Bible tells us, symbolizing the multiplied prayers of the people. A cross-reference is chapter 6, 9 to 11. Now, these prayers are given to him, to this angel. Now, prayer and incense, that's what we can see there. These two, according to one Old Testament author, are often associated in the Bible. The idea is that just as the incense is precious, pleasant, and drifts to heaven, like that, the smoke there, it drifts up to heaven, so do our prayers. It's like an incense that goes up to heaven. And the picture is God can smell it, and God accepts the smell, the precious smell of the prayers of his saints. So here, before anything happens, at the opening of the seventh seal, the prayers of God's people come before the Lord God. Now, if you're going to ask, who's the giver here that was said and stood at the altar? He was given much incense. Who gave him much incense? Who's the other player here in this scenario? Of course, it's God himself. It's God who gave the angel the incense. These are the prayers that were given to the angel, who then must add these prayers to all the saints already rising from the altar. So you may ask, what are these prayers that were added together to burn a bigger incense? I believe it's a reflection of the prayer in chapter 6, 9 to 11. Here are the prayers again. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? I believe that's the prayer there. For Satan to be destroyed, for sin to be defeated, that the deaths of these martyrs will be avenged, and that Christ would come. That's the prayer. And so you go back to Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and following. You see here now the angel adding these prayers together. And verse 4 tells us, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. So we see a beautiful picture here that God hears the prayers of the saints. He listens to the prayers of his people. So, dearly beloved, this is a wonderful time to park our minds with that idea. Maybe tonight you have come and you have just noticed that you have been praying and praying for such and such an item. You've been asking the Lord for weeks, for months, for years, for one item. Maybe a few. Maybe you have a list. You've been shaking the gates of heaven. You've been attending prayer meeting, and you've been praying in your heart about this specific item. Whatever they may be, sometimes the waiting, the silence is just so nerving. But you ask, is God really listening? You know, I mean, you don't say it out loud. You don't want Pastor John to hear your doubts, you know. So you don't say it out loud. You still smile. You still pray. But human as we are, in our hearts, in the back of our minds, we ask, Lord, do you really listen? But if you listen, where's the answer? You know, where's the answer? But here, dearly beloved, embedded in this judgment is a beautiful reminder to all the saints. God hears our prayers. It's like a sweet smelling incense that rises up to God. And when God smells it, he's pleased. And he accepts our prayers. And he answers our prayers according to his perfect time and according to his perfect will. And all we need to do is trust. The just shall live by faith, and wait, because he makes everything beautiful in his time. Then verse 5, of course, here we go now. Because you might ask, okay, Pastor, that's comforting. Aren't we talking about judgment? Okay, hold on. Here's the judgment. Here's the seventh seal judgment. Then the angel who took the censer, the same angel we're talking about, again, not Christ, filled it with the fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And when he threw it to the earth, now here's what we're waiting for. There were silence for 30 minutes. Noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Now, this verse, verse number 5, tells us that the censer filled with the fire of the altar, usually linked with the prayers of God's people, becomes a symbol of divine wrath. Of course, when God hears his people are being maltreated, are being persecuted, do you think God rejoices on his throne? Do you think God is gleefully saying, oh, you know, my people is suffering? No. The Lord feels the pain. God knows the suffering you're going through for his sake, for his name's sake. This act of the angel throwing the censer filled with fire from the altar to the earth depicts God's judgment will be poured down to the earth due to the prayers of his saints. Remember James 5:16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. It avails much, so much so that God acts. And God answers their prayers, and he casts this fire to the earth, and it produces noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Now James 5:16 talks about a righteous man. How much more the power of cumulative prayers of righteous men and women. How much more? That's why, oh dearly beloved, I know we're not after numbers, but oh, my heart yearns to see the night of a prayer meeting where the hall will be filled with saints praying together. Where the problem will be, we need a bigger space for prayer meeting. Because again, dearly beloved, we see here God responds to a righteous man's prayer. The result of this act is a total opposite of chapter 8, verse 1, of silence. Do we want to see our country going back to following the Lord? Do we want to see changes in our families, in our communities? Do we want to have people saved? We need to pray. We need to pray as a church. We need to give time to prayer. We can't just say, maybe someday, or it will happen if I have enough time, if I'm not too tired. If we understand the gravity of the ministry of prayer, dearly beloved, you cannot but join the prayer ministry of the church. So that's the seventh seal judgment, where because of the prayers of the saints, the earth experienced noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And there, specifically, an earthquake is mentioned. Not the earthquakes. In other words, there was a major. As if there were lack of earthquakes already from the seventh seal judgments. And then an earthquake. We don't know what intensity this is going to be. But the noises, some commentators say, never heard of before. It will be deafening. Thunderings, never seen before. Lightnings never seen before. That's the seventh seal. Which now, after this, will open up the trumpet judgments. Hold on to your seat. God is not done. He will act on behalf of His people, especially those who have been martyred. Well, dearly beloved, I hope that this brings comfort in our hearts. I hope that this brings a lot of strength in our lives today so that we can sing tonight